Words. If you could put that up on the screen again, that would be great, Sarah. Life can only be understood backwards, but must be lived forwards. Now, I don't know what you think of when you read that statement, life can only be understood backwards, but must be lived forwards. I think there's certain aspects to it that I disagree with, and certain aspects that I really agree with. However, generically and as a statement, I think it does hold a lot for us as Christians. And let me explain why. I think the first part of that statement is that life can only be understood backwards, is that we're not dropped in time, in a point of time, without any history. We have a history and we come from somewhere. And the whole of the Bible is essentially the story of God's people journeying with God and their history and where they come to in the present and into the future. But I think our history is something that is very important for us to understand. And within that is the aspect of remembering. Now, we've kind of lost this tradition and this understanding of remembering, I think, in our Christian circles today. The early church had this fantastic word, it's still in the Bible, in the Greek, called amakinesis. And amakinesis, again, forget the word, but when the church came together, they made a covenant with each other to remember the promises of God that would have implications upon them as individuals, but also the corporate body. And so they actively remembered what Jesus had done. And how did they do that? By telling stories. And ultimately those stories were written down from the oral tradition to the written tradition. And ultimately we get our gospels from that. But the idea of remembering where we've come from is very, very important. And there's biblical precedent for that all across the Bible. In the Old Testament, if you remember when Joshua crosses the Jordan, he says to the 12 tribes of Israel, he says, take stones and carry those stones across the river and then place them on the other side so that you will remember what God has done for you. And then the end of the book of Joshua, when there was a huge rebellion and the people weren't sure about where they were going, Joshua said, remember the stones, remember what God has done for you. The Hebrew word is the same root word as the Greek word, amakinesis. Again, it's just a fact, but the idea of actively remembering is so important in our faith. And I think in the New Testament, we see that as well. Jesus, one of the most common statements that Jesus said, especially in Mark and Matthew, because the Jewishness of Matthew was, do you not remember? Don't you remember or remember what I did? Classic example is the stories between the feeding of 5,000 and 4,000. The disciples helped feed the 5,000. They got on the boat and they met another 4,000 hungry people. And Jesus, they said, what the heck are we going to do? And Jesus said, do you not remember what you have done? Same word, amakinesis. He was actively trying to get them to remember. So I think when I look at that statement, life can be only understood backwards, I think our past is very important, and that can be a very difficult thing, because our past has a lot of baggage and difficult things, and there's aspects of that which are hard, but also there's the good things of God. And so a scripture, I think, that we should always remember is Numbers 15:39. It's something that myself and Dillis, my wife, are trying to really live out at the moment. I think that's on a slide as well, Sarah, Numbers 15:39. The whole idea, it says, you will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you'll remember all the commands of the Lord. And as you know, the Jews used to wear these big garments with tassels on them. And the more tassels that the rabbi had, the more encounters, depends on his priestly hierarchy, he had with God. And so it became a religious thing, unfortunately. But those with loads of tassels would openly be able to tell stories of God and what he had done. And so this is where it came from in Numbers. And so to give you an illustration of the importance of going back, I have these two little metaphors which are very helpful in my mind. And as I leave Corn, as I move out into this new ministry, the first is the idea of a pole vaulter. And again, there's a slide up there, Sarah, of the pole vaulter has to go back. You know, the pole vaulter has to go back before he goes forwards. As one of the only forwards where he takes like six steps, or she takes the steps back to go forwards. And I think in our Christian faith, And especially sometimes in charismatic churches, we forget what has gone before us in 2,000 years of history, of the councils, of some of the atrocities as well. The Inquisitions, they're awful, but they're all part of our history. And remembering the good and the bad, but how God worked through that is very important. Another metaphor I find very helpful is the rings of a tree. I did my degree in science and genetics, and I worked as a forester, and I think each ring is connected to the centre. And if you like, we're on the outside of that, the cambium, and we're at the very edge of society, and it's the softest part of the wood, but it gets all its sustenance from the centre of the wood. And that part of the wood is the phloem and the xylem. It pulls in all the nutrients. So if you like these two analogies of the pole vaulter who goes back to go forward, and the idea of the bark and the rings, we're rooted back there. And we do have a belief that's 2,000 years old, but I don't think our thinking has to be 2,000 years old. I think we have a belief that's rooted in that. And so what am I saying is life can only be understood backwards. Our Christian faith can only ever really truly be understood by the redemptive and the restorative work of Jesus Christ in the past but going forward. And I think the celebration of that is very important personally and also corporately, and to remember what has gone before. And so be pole vaulters. I want to be a pole vaulter as I start this new church out in Rathmines, in what has happened with St. Bartholomew's, a very high church, smells and bells. That's my background, half my family Roman Catholic, half Church of Ireland, the better half Church of Ireland. But basically, I want to... was that? Yeah. Scrap that from the tape. So I want to be able to go back to go forward. And the thing is, I also want to take the bad things in my life to bring them forward as well, because most of the bad things have really informed me or helped inform me. And I think we suppress, and Kierkegaard talks about this, we suppress the bad things in our life, but actually it's mostly the bad things, if we work through them with Christ, can inform us into the future. So that is, life can only be understood backwards. It's only part of the statement. It's very important to remember that we don't get stuck in the past. And I say this with the greatest of respect as someone who's going into a new ministry, partnering with the parish, which I'm very much looking forward to. They themselves will say they're stuck in the past. Their beliefs are in the past, but the practice, their orthopraxy, as they say, is stuck in the past. Their orthodoxy and what they believe will always be historical because the truths don't change, but how they practice that is stuck. And I think, I don't want to disrespect what's gone before, but I think there's an importance to move forward now. And so we don't want to be like the Pharisees in Jesus' time who got stuck in the past. And if you like, they were the pole vaulters who stopped, and they would not go forwards, because this is what sustained them, this was their identity, this is where they came from, and the Jewish understanding of the temple, this was what gave them validity, and they were stuck here. But there's a big bar to get over, I believe, and by going back to move forward, it gives us that inertia to get forward. And it's the tradition where we've come from, and it says in the Psalms, you know, that those who have gone before shout victoriously for us as we move on. And so I think we don't want to get stuck in the past. And just incidentally, to tell a little story of, I mentioned I was praying, I was watching this DVD last night of a guy of mine who's making this film about the Christians, Muslims and Jews in the West Bank. And he made a very interesting point about groupings of people who get stuck in the past and won't move forward. And he made this comment about the Holocaust. This was a Jew, this guy speaking. And he said that the Jews and the Holocaust, a dreadful thing, and the whole identity of Israel, not the whole identity, but a lot of it is fueled in what happened in the Holocaust. And some of them want to move forward from that, not forgetting the atrocity, it's dreadful, but they want to move forward. But the state is not allowing them to move forward, if you like, because that's what gives them their identity. That's ultimately how they got the state. And there's people who want to move forward away from that. And he told this really sad story of, like, he went to Auschwitz with his son, and there was a lot of other Jewish people there, and the Jewish guy said to them, you know, what has happened to the Jews in Auschwitz was dreadful and should never happen again. And then he brought us to the future. He said, never trust the Palestinians today. Never walk with them because they will do the same to you. So the past is proliferating itself because of fear that is being instilled. And so these people at Auschwitz are using this in the past, which is awful, to instill fear into the future. And so I think that we need to sometimes let the past go. That doesn't mean forget it. And I'm not, in no way saying we forget that. It's just awful. But if the Jewish people themselves are saying move forward, I think there's an importance, if we bring that back to our own situation here in Ireland, religiously, I think that we can let go of this, not to neglect it or negate it, it's so important to us, but to move forward over the bar, and not be using that in the past to stop us moving forward. And so the scriptures I would leave with you when we talk about but must be lived forwards. Life can only be understood backwards but must be lived forwards. I would remind you of scriptures of Isaiah 43, which again is up on a slide there, Sarah, which says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. And so the context of that was the Assyrian hordes were coming down from the north. They were sacking the northern kingdom, about to sack the southern kingdom. And there was a way out that was being produced. And God was doing a new thing. But they wouldn't move from the past into the future. They were holding on to the old traditions. And Isaiah was encouraging them to move on. And I really think for core, for what it's worth, I think that's a seminal scripture for us as a church. And I say that as someone who's here and going. Forget the former things. Like, they're still important, they're still here, but let's not stay backwards, let's move forwards. Do not dwell in the past. And as you know, that, well, maybe not that word in Hebrew, the word dwelling is stuck. Do not be stuck in the past, because I'm doing a new thing. And as part of us moving out, I think, is part of that new thing. And so, for you guys, I just say that as an encouragement. Another scripture I would say is this whole idea of moving forwards as well, as Philippians 3:13-14. Paul in Philippi, which was a great place of the outworking of God's Spirit, but also a community that was stuck in its identity because it was surrounded by Roman legionaries and they were unwilling to move forward with the gospel. This is what Paul says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, us, heavenward in Christ Jesus. And I think these two scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, there's an inertia, like the pole vaulter, not totally neglecting the past, but moving forward. Because God's kingdom is advancing, and forceful men and women will take hold of it. And I think it's important that we move forward. God's kingdom is never static. It never stops. And it's moving, it's growing, it's expanding, it's happening right now as we're here tonight. And I guess to kind of finish off and root this in something practical is that when I think of all this, one of the emotions that comes up within me is fear. And I think fear is what stops us. Fear is what's stopping the Jewish nation moving on. Again, I say that as a Gentile with the greatest respect to Jewish people. It's what was on this DVD. Fear of change is what's holding them back. And I think fear of changing the past is what holds us all back. I think in the Church of Ireland, it's holding us back. And again, I say it with the greatest of respect. In the Roman Catholic tradition, it's what holding them back. I say it with the greatest respect of Dermot Martin. He said it himself to the speech to the Knights of Columbanus. He said, our past is holding us back now. And so we're living in great times of getting over this bar and moving forward, I believe. But one thing, as I say, is fear. Our past can hold us back. I have a picture here with a great double chin on me there. Just love that picture. We can't really see it on my right, but on my left you can see it. I don't know, I look happy, but I'm really, really scared. In my past, I got stuck in a lift when I was away on holidays with my parents, and I had real fear of going up in lifts. And then a few years ago, I got stuck in a plane landing into New York in the blackout, and we were just about to land, and the power went off, and we had to full throttle back up, and the plane nearly crashed. And so I have a fear, ultimately, going up in lifts, and I do now have a fear of heights. I don't want to say it keeps me up at night, but I don't really like heights. But anyway, I was in Chicago there a few weeks ago at this conference, and realizing what was in my past and what had happened, my friend Greg Fromholz, you might know him, he said, why don't we go up the Willis Tower, you know, formerly called the Sears Tower? Why don't we go up the Sears Tower? And I didn't want to look, you know, that I was scared. I said, oh, no, let's go for a burger instead. Let's go for a drink. Let's go for a coffee, whatever. And he says, no, like a dog with a bone. He wouldn't let go. And so we went up in the turbo lift. Terrified, I have to say. The thing wobbles. He was jumping up and down as we were going up and down, laughing at me, knowing I was scared. And then we got to the top of the Sears Tower, and they've built this new platform called the Sky Deck. And it basically is I think it's about 5 inches of perspex that goes out right over the edge of the 1,900 foot skyscraper. And it moves on purpose. So like with the wind and the moon, it actually moves, I'd say maybe 8 or 9 degrees either way, and in the latitude as well. And so it's very scary. And so Greg said to me, are you going to go on that? And I was like, I can't repeat what I said to him actually. But I guess something within me, and maybe this is just my disposition, but I just was standing there, remembering the fear of getting stuck in the lift, got over that, the fear of heights, looking down and seeing what was below me, 1,800 feet. I just kind of felt in my spirit to say, God, so just take a step out and let go what you're afraid of. And so I stepped out, and I've never been more scared in all my life, because as I stepped out, Greg jumped out onto the thing and the whole thing wobbled up and down. And so anyway, this photograph is of me lying down, and as I look happy, but I'm absolutely petrified lying on the perspex glass. And I think I just use that as a small illustration, as encouragement to you, in that what is it in your past, if you like, which is holding you back from moving forward? What is it in our church? What is it in the church that we will start that is holding us back from moving forward? Because God's kingdom is advancing, and life can be only understood backwards, but must be lived forwards. And I want to finish with this quote from another great, great friend. I've never met him, but I love reading his stuff. Oliver Wendell Holmes. You might not have heard of him, but he was the son, a great Christian guy, of the U.S. Supreme Court Justice in 1890. They radical changes in the court system. And he was someone who was always moving forward in his faith. And he had this great quote, which I love. The great thing in this world is not so much where we are standing, as in what direction we are moving. Just let that settle in for a second. I think it's very profound. The great thing in this world is not so much where we are standing, as in what direction we are moving. And again, I think there's a lot of us, if you like, standing here and in society with the economic problems and all those horrendous things that we're facing this way and we're moving that way, but yet God is turning us around and bringing us forward. And one of the things that stops us is our past. And so I guess what I'd love for us to do, just to finish this evening, let me just recap again so we can bring something home with us. Life can only be understood backwards, but must be lived forwards. That's what we were looking at. We understand the importance of remembering both the good and bad, but also we realize that God will move us forward from that situation, and he'll bring us out in that to what he has for us. And they're there to be faced, and there's a blessing in that, both individually and corporately. And that's something we want to do together. So let's pray. I wonder, Jamie, could we have another song maybe to finish in John? So let's just continue in that mode of prayerfulness.